We're doing the Ramban Torah Tashem Tmima, and we're up to the point where the Ramban is going to discuss the idea of fortune telling. Is there any validity in all these different approaches that people have to tell you what the future holds for you? So we discussed last time the wisdom that's being explored today by Professor Ekman of understanding facial features. There are many books on it. It's not only body language, it's also the face. There's a tremendous study now going on about how to understand people's facial features. And we discussed that there was an ancient tradition which the rabbis had on discerning facial features. And last week I mentioned a psychologist I sat with who showed me how to analyze and be able to see a lot about a person just from looking at their picture without even talking to the person. Some of it is an exact science, some of it is a skill, and some of it is a person's own intuition. But there's a lot that's an exact science, meaning a science knows today how to tell certain things based on where a person's pupils are located, based on where a person positions his eyes. There's a whole science to it. The FBI has a whole book explaining how to tell if a person's lying to you during an interview. There are certain facial expressions which give us away. And we didn't yet discuss the story of Dr. Tversky, right? Dr. Tversky tells the following story. He says that when he was in his first year practicing psychiatric medication,
was Africa or something? Was it two tries?
No, that we did discuss last week, Dr. Paul Ekman. Dr. Tversky recounts how in his first few days on the job, so a nurse calls him into a patient, and he sees that the patient is a hypochondriac, and he's making a big deal out of nothing. So he tells the nurse in complicated medical language, "Nurse, we have to take this patient's request seriously. Please give him a dosage of," and using complicated medical jargon, he tells her basically to give him salt water. The nurse takes him aside and says, "I'm sorry, I can't." So he asks her, "What do you mean you can't?" She says, "The policy of this floor is that we don't do that. We don't give placebos." So he said, "What do you mean? I'm the doctor. I prescribe. You're supposed to give." So she said, "That's nice, but the head of the department has a policy here that we don't give placebos." So he said to her, "But I've been here as an intern, and last year, all year, we gave placebos. It was part of our training. How come now you're telling me we can't give placebos?" So she said, "Well, last year you were an intern, you weren't their doctor. Now you're their doctor, and according to the orders of the head of the department, we're not allowed to give placebos. No doctor is allowed to give a placebo on this floor." So he said, "Fine, if you're telling me it's the head of the department, I'll go talk to him." So he goes down the hall, goes to the head of the department, and the head of the department tells him, "Right, I gave instructions, you're never allowed to give a placebo here." So he asked him, "Why?" So he said, "Look, you're going to stand there and tell the patient for 5 minutes why he needs this medication and how this medication is going to help him, and you're going to spend 5 minutes lying to the patient, right? As your mouth says one thing, your body language says something else. Whether you like it or not, your body conveys, 'I'm lying to you, I'm lying to you, I'm lying to you.' And the patient hears with his ears that you're telling him one thing. But in his mind, something says this is a lie. And you're not going to be able to control it, and he's not going to be able to control it. The one tool we have to work with these patients is trust. This is a psychiatric ward. So they're entrusting their future in you. And when they walk away from a conversation with you and something in their mind says this isn't right, they won't be able to place it. But you've jeopardized your capacity to help them in the future. So we on this floor will never give a placebo, because as much as you say one thing, the patient's mind registers, I can't trust this person. And he won't be able to verbalize it, but you have jeopardized your capacity to help him in the future. Dr. Tversky took it to heart and says that from that day onward, he doesn't think he lied almost ever in his life, because his whole profession is about helping people psychiatrically. So he realized that as much as we try, we convey something else. So science today has recognized this idea that Chazal were saying, that there's a lot that's given away from our body language, from our facial features, from our expressions, that we don't even control. And you can understand a lot about a person just from that. And we'll continue in 1 second, but first we'll hear Larry and give out Larry's Rugala. I didn't pay you for them yet, so they're still yours. Which one is...
The top one is the fancy stuff that's ours.
Okay.
And the other one's yours. I didn't remember, you said apples are pear, I wasn't sure in the end what apple
you... We'll talk about it later, thank you.
Anyway, the question was, why don't they just do a double blind? That is, that maybe the manager on the floor, they mark all the bottles, and he knows which one's a placebo and which one's not a placebo. But he doesn't know.
Okay, you could send the questions there. We're continuing the Ramban, yeah.
I feel a little uncomfortable with this whole idea of science, of suddenly everybody thinking that they can know me just by looking at my face. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't get a chance to have people know me and my actions and things. I get like my face and suddenly they allow me to this and this. And so, I mean,
so let's hear out the Ramban.
Okay. Maybe they can be better than you think.
Wait, did you say at the beginning that you could tell people's future from their face?
Oh, so wait, you're right. We began by talking about the future. We went on to talk about the science that's developing in understanding people based on their facial features. So you're right. We really put two ideas together, and we have to discern as we will read through the Ramban. You're right. Really, they're separate ideas. But let's see. Last week we discussed the capacity to recognize whether people were cruel or kind and many other things based on people's facial features. And we discussed that science explored that too, and that's where Dr. Ekman began his research when he saw his mentor, I forgot his name, was able to discern between the two tribes. That's what Amichai was mentioning, just by looking at their facial features. He never met these tribes in Africa. So there is, as much as Avram is uncomfortable, there is a science to that too. When I used to take haircuts, so what do you do when you take a haircut? You don't have a yarmulke on, you can't learn. So I'd read up on the ancient literature that we have on understanding people based on facial features, Jewish literature, meaning I have books on sgulot and on all kinds of things, including understanding based on a person's facial features. So that's what I'd read during haircuts. So there is, even in Jewish literature, we have a certain science, which includes, like you're saying, not only understanding who the person is, but also where the person's headed. But before we give that too much weight and credence, let's hear the Ramban. That's actually what we're here to learn. So the Ramban says, Rav Shri Raigon was quoted as saying, our sages had a tradition of how to understand people's faces and read the palm of their hands. Some are hidden in the verse, Zesefer Toldot Adam, and some in the following verse, that man was created male and female. Upiresh ha-gaon, she-chachamim hayu mosarim hakarot halalu ze laze. And the Gaon, Rav Shri Rai Gaon, explained, okay, that the sages would pass on this tradition one to the other, because the secrets of the Torah are only given over to those who are worthy of it. You don't go publishing it. As our sages said, you only give the the headings of the subjects to the head of the court, and provided that he is on that level that we say his heart is worried within. Rabbi Ami says the formula to be worthy of getting the secrets of Torah is to be one who can give counsel, who is wise, who knows secrets, and understands things that are only said in a whisper. And here there's obviously a whole formula about how great a person has to be in order to be worthy of getting the secrets. Amlinam b'midrash. So the Medrash explains, what does it mean? Navon, ze amevin davar mitoch davar, lachash, ze shiroilim solo sitrei Torah, shenitanin b'lachash. What do the words of the verse mean? He has to have understanding that he could infer, he knows how to infer. You tell him one thing, he'll be able to figure out more. And what's called that he hears things in a whisper, that he's a person who gets the secrets of the Torah that are said over in a whisper. And that's what the Ramban is saying. There's a part of the Torah that's given over in a whisper that the public doesn't know about, that's kept in secret, and that's part of this wisdom. Rabbi Ishmael hu shekibel stream alal v'kar le'Rabbi Ishmael da'ichalot v'akarat ha'panim. Da'ichalot v'akarat ha'panim. And Rabbi Ishmael received this secret, he received these secrets and made call him Rabbi Ishmael of heichalot, whatever that means, of the inner rooms, and the discernment of faces. Now, the truth is there's a whole medrash, a secret medrash, like the Zohar, called either heichalot or hayichalot, however you pronounce it. But that's something that's secret, so what are we going to say? What do we know about that? Okay, so what's going on here? V'inyan yediyah zo ramuz b'talmud. So he's first developing this idea that there is such a knowledge. Later on, he's going to discuss that we still have it. So we'll get there. And what about all those people that are willing to tell you your fortune for a little bit of money? Do they have it? So we'll get there. But we said he will also encompass the idea, is there any force that's accessible to sorcerers, to warlocks, to Harry Potter? Do these forces really exist? So we'll get there. That's the topic of this chapter. So v'inyani diazo hamuz b'talmud. So the concept, this knowledge, is alluded to in the Talmud. Daminam b'mesechet brachot. The Talmud says in tractate brachos. Aroyach lusei Yisrael amar baruch chacham arazin v'shem patzuf en shavot blodot en shavot. There's a special blessing. One who sees masses of Israel says, blessed is he who's so wise with secrets, because their faces aren't the same and their intellects aren't the same. Oh, so why is it so important that they have different faces? Ve'itma, Rabbi Ploni, Rabbi Ploni, Ashkechul, Rabbi Ploni, Amulei, Badi, Dechazinach, Bachin, Antalte. We have a Medrash. I don't know why he doesn't quote the names. The Gemara actually tells us it was Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breid, Rav Yoshua. They met Rav Chanina, Breid, Rav Ika. And they said, when we saw you, we made two blessings. Shechalak mechochmato l'rav u'mchei ha'metim. That we made a blessing over your wisdom, and we made a blessing of Mechayei Ameitim. That's his version of the Gemara. Shaya Chacham v'la'achal Yud Bet Chodesh. So he was wise, and he uses another term here, and after 12 months. Amar lo chashvitu nalai kishishim bo v'richi chacham arazim. So he said, you guys are worth it to me like 60,000 Jews, like 600,000 Jews. I made a blessing as though I just saw 600,000 Jews. They said to him, are you so smart? They looked at him and he dropped dead. That's a Gemara. So the Ramban says, what's going on here? What a Gemara. He says, they say we made two blessings over you. He says, I made one blessing over you. You guys are equal to me like 600,000. They say, are you really so smart? And he drops dead. Boy, what's the Gemara talking about? So he says, okay, he didn't get punished for a sin. But rather, what's going on here is very different. What's going on here? Ki hadat tluya b'partzuf. If you want to know a person's intellect, you can see it in his face. Kechochmato shel Rabbi Ishmael. Like Rabbi Ishmael, who had that wisdom to look at a person's face and know how smart they were. ואף חכמי הגויים הכירו בהם מעט מזר מן הטבעים הגסים כמנהגם. And even the wise men among the non-Jews, they also had an angle, a partial understanding of this concept in a more general sense, as we generally find that whatever wisdom we have, they access in a more general way. V'kabalat rabotenu, you know, Plato took classes by the prophet Jeremiah, right? You know that medrash. V'kabalat is not only in a medrash by Yos, it's also quoted in secular sources. But then again, secular sources also quote that he learned by the Chinese and by many places, meaning in secular sources there's a big machlokas who Plato learned by. It's known that Plato disappeared, went away for a number of years, and studied by someone. So different sources attributed to different wise men. So we have a medrash that says he went together with the armies to destroy the temple, and at the destruction of the temple he met with Jeremiah, and he asked him, you the wise man of the Jews? So he said, you the wise man of the non-Jews? So he says, yeah, I'm Plato. So he says, okay, I'm Jeremiah. So he says, if you're so wise, how come you're crying over a building that was destroyed? You should understand it's only stone and wood, and what you're crying about? So Jeremiah said, well, I'll answer you, but first tell me, what questions do you have in all your studies of philosophy? So Plato said, well, it's deep and long and complicated. Jeremiah said, I have time, let's sit down. So they sat down, and Plato starts explaining question after question after question. And when he finishes, Jeremiah says, okay, now let me explain the answers. And he starts explaining, and after a few minutes, he's done. He says, now you get it? So Plato says, no, now I don't get it. Wait a second. If you're so smart, you're able to answer all my questions, so now I'm doubly confounded. What are you crying over stone and wood? You for sure understand that stone and wood aren't worth crying over. So Jeremiah says, all the wisdom I just gave you, I got from that stone and wood. Back to our Ramban. So the Ramban says, every wisdom we have, we generally find, it trickles out to even to the non-Jews in a more crass form, without the exact refineness that we have in our tradition. וקבלת רבותינו כלא נבראו בשינוי הפרצופות, אלא בשישים ריבו. And our tradition is that the number of faces that exist in the world is 600,000. והמניין הזה כולל כל הדעות. If you want to know what number encompasses all different types of intellects, it's 600,000. Now you understand why there are people who are so, so similar. When I was growing up, our principal's brother looked like an identical twin to my father. So people would constantly tell me, oh, your father's downstairs. And they tell my father, he used to work with the police. They tell him, oh, since when did you start working at the police? Because they looked almost identical. The Ramban is telling us this idea that when you see 600,000, we assume you've seen an encompassing of the number of types of intellect that exists. That's why the Torah was given to 600,000 Jews. Why were there 600,000 men over the age of 20 when the Torah was given? Because that's a number that represents a wholeness, an encompassing of all the types of intellects that exist. Yeah.
So did you follow the same type of intellect as the principal?
I don't know. I didn't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. Okay. All right. That deserves a broad answer, but I want you to think about it. And if you still have a question next week, so then we'll have to get back to it. So I'll answer you with a few questions. Do you think that two people that have the same nose have the same intellect? Two people that have the same type of eyes have the same intellect? Meaning, we're assuming that the generality of a person's look is what's going to define the intellect, and that's not necessarily so. Meaning,
the face defines.
Right. But we said a crass term here. We didn't go into what about the face defines what about the intellect. So the fact that two people look very alike, well, the question is, those little differences, are they exactly what counts? So that's, he didn't go into that. Look, obviously there's also a question of nature and nurture. A guy's born with tremendous potential, but he has to be in the hospital till he's 40, so then he's not going to develop too much, right? It's not only a question of a person's potential, but one of the things you see is that people's facial features develop in accordance to their life. A person looks different. I think the place you could see it most is maybe Machon Meir. Look at the pictures of the people when they come in here. I'm not talking about the chains and jewelry and all that. I'm talking about their face. Look at the look in their eyes and look at the whole expression of a person when he walks in off the streets, off his motorcycle gang or wherever else he's coming from. And look at the guy 3 years down the road. You guys are laughing. Wait till Purim comes. One of the things they do in Purim is they have two posters, a before and after poster. And you have to figure out who's who. And usually they do it with the Ramim here, right? You guys probably saw the pictures of the different teachers here who were rock stars and everything else.
Yeah,
we have teachers here who have all kinds of histories. So I'm not talking about whether they had hair out to here. I'm talking about the facial features. So the facial features also develop in accordance with a person's development, a person's intellectual development, emotional development, and they're all a part of who a person is. It's not only about happiness. It's not, I'm saying there's a calmness that envelops a person, there's a genteel, when a person develops in a certain direction, that's reflected in his face as well. So even though we say a person's personality is a development of nature and nurture, to a certain degree, a person's face is too.
Maybe when I'm talking about the different faces, it might not be like the sort of empirical value of the dimensions of the face, but rather just the way that those facial features are being used, which is embedded deep inside us. And if that changes, then the person's face changes.
Very good. So I'm not sure, meaning the Ramban is going to conceal more than he will reveal. But the psychologist I sat with said like you. Meaning the psychologist took a picture of a person smiling and started breaking it down. And he said to me, this is a crazy person. I said, how can you tell? I mean, I know the person. So I was working with the psychologist to try and help the person. But the psychologist began by telling me, this person's crazy. I said, you never met the person. How do you know? He said, I'll show you. He said, what's the person doing? I said, they're smiling. He said, no, they're not. I said, what do you mean? He said, watch. Covered the mouth, covered the nose, showed only the eyebrows. He said, if you saw only the eyebrows, would you say they're smiling? Now watch. Covered everything else about the face, showed only the eyes. He said, now would you say they're smiling? And he started showing me segments of the face. He said, so then the only part of the face that's really smiling is the lips. Now watch. Covered the whole rest of the face and showed me only the lips. He said, would you say that's a real smile? No. So he, in 1 second, broke down the whole picture and said, the eyebrows don't match the lips, the eyes don't match the lips, the height of the eyes, each of the eyes, the amount that the eyes are open. You know, he broke down every part of the face, and in 1 second he said, this person's crazy. I said, you haven't met him yet. What?
Fake smile doesn't mean you're crazy.
So that's what he was saying. It's not only about the fake smile.
Right.
So he started showing me different things about how you can tell. This is what this part of the face represents. Is that, and you see, he had it down to a science. But, okay, we're talking about one of the top psychologists in the U.S. who made Aliyah. And today, he's one of the top psychologists here. So, you know, if anyone tells you, oh, I could tell you from a picture, you say, okay. You know, and I could tell you the Brooklyn Bridge. But when it's someone who's held in high regard by psychologists internationally, then you say, wait a second, he's not playing games. He's not here to show off. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, when you say it's like broken out of science, does that mean like people have like there's only a certain amount of tells that people have? Like, for example, I remember like when I used to like poker, like one thing in poker that's really big is like trying to like see when people are bluffing, right? So like
right.
You notice, you know, like some people blink like off pattern, or you know, some people are playing with their mouth as long, or their beard, or their nose, whatever, their ears, like whatever. Like,
right.
People have all these different tells for the same idea, like depending on the person. So when I'm breaking it down to a science, like, how do you know, like, really, oh, this person's lying because of this, when it's tough to be, you know what I mean? Like, how can, just by looking at a picture, like...
Because
you know,
our face, like Dr. Tversky was taught, our face gives away a lot. Now, again, his point was well taken. We're focusing, again, on the present, what a person's thinking, whereas the Ramban is focusing on a totally different wisdom, meaning we're we're borrowing from the concept, but we're not really honing in on the concept.
I get what you mean, that like there's, that like the face is giving away these things, but I'm saying like, is every face giving it away the same way?
In certain respects, yes. That's what Dr. Ekman's research shows.
Okay.
But that's, again, we're borrowing from a science which hasn't gotten near the level of skill that Chazal had. I mean, Chazal tell us stories. Chazal tell us stories that, who was it? Shmuel was sitting with Arsila. And Arsila was a non-Jewish sorcerer. And he saw someone, a group, going into the woods. And Arsila said to Shmuel, that guy is not coming back alive. So we're talking about things on a higher level. Let's wait. We're only starting the Ramban. Meaning, I brought all these concepts only to illustrate the idea that there's a lot that science has already come to recognize within the face. But we're nowhere near the level of discernment that Chazal had, which we're still going to get to. And I can tell you there's a lot that people give away from their faces. A lot. There's we don't realize it. I'm scared of telling you more, that's all. I'm deliberating with myself to tell you stories that I personally saw, but I'm not sure it's conducive, the idea we've gotten. So the stories just spice it up, and it's enough without the spice. So to be continued next week. Say that.